Welcome to Mark and Friends. I'm your host, Donna Leland. And today we're going to be talking about prayer and how to teach our children. And we talk with Springfield's very own Dr. Clarissa Williams. She has written a new children's book. It's called Mommy, Teach Me to Pray. Thanks so much for joining us, Clarissa, on Mark and Friends.
Thank you so much for having me, Donna. It's an honor to be able to share today.
I love it that prophets have honor in our hometown, and I love to celebrate the good things that God is doing through the people here in Springfield and Central Illinois. So that's why I really wanted to get you on and talk about your heart for children and teaching them how to pray. What really spurred this up within your soul to make this book possible?
So I had wanted to write children's books for many, many years. Writing for me is a space that's very creative and also a place of discovery and a place of just intellectual inquiry, right? Writing. And I wrote a book on worship first, and it was very much geared to adults, geared to the committed Christian who wanted to elevate their lives of worship, to come out of religion, to come out of compartmentalization, and to really have a full body relationship and experience with Christ that showed his value in every aspect of their lives. And so after that, the Lord immediately gave me something for children, to introduce children to Creator God, and to introduce children to the lover of their souls, and to let them know that there is a direct line that they have to Creator God and to the lover of their souls, and that God is so very interested in them and loves them so very much and wants to help them navigate this thing that we call life. And when I think about also all of the things that are happening in our world and how inundated children are, and even adults, with all kinds of information and voices and influences, I felt like it was so very important that the body of Christ was sending the message very loudly and very clearly about God and about a child's opportunity to connect and to have a life that is one filled with adventure as the Lord transforms them into what he would have them to be and introduces them to their purpose in the world.
That's so beautiful. I just love the idea of teaching a child that God cares, to hear their little
Amen.
Voice, because sometimes they
Yes.
get the message that no one wants to hear their voice. Children should be seen, not heard. You know, in school, mm-hmm. they're sitting there for hours and hours with no permission to speak. Their little voices mm-hmm. are not welcome. Maybe, you know, they get home and a parent's tired and it's not really something that the parent wants to engage in, hearing that little voice. Some children, they've got a lot of words, and I think I was
yes.
one of them. And so it just, you know, exhausts the parent, and we get it. We really get it.
Mm-hmm.
But for that child to know that God loves to hear them and can
yes.
handle them talking 24/7,
yes.
if possible, that's so beautiful. I just
yes.
love it. Now,
absolutely.
In your book, walk us through some of the concepts. You gave me a chance to preview the book, and it's so mm-hmm. sweet, and it's about the parents leading that child in a deeper understanding. What are some of the points in the book?
So one of the major points is Creator God, and we see Creator God speaking through nature. And of course, you know, children are very curious, many of them very curious, and some, you know, will ask, well, Mommy or Daddy, how did the sun get in the sky, you know, and how did the clouds get in the sky? And who made them? And so we have Jamal, who's riding in the car with his mother, and he asks her these questions, and she begins to explain that God did this. And he is amazed about that, and he wonders, does God see me? He's so big, he's able to do all this beautiful big stuff in nature. Well, does he see me? And so the other concept is that, you know, the child is seen by God. Creator God sees the child and wants to be lover of their soul. And so Jamal understands after his mother explains that God sees him and that he wants to be in relationship with him. Then the question is, how does one get in contact with God, so to speak? And she explains that we talk to God, we communicate with God through prayer. And so he says, well, mommy, teach me to pray. I want to talk to God. And so that is what happens in the book. She unpacks the different prayers that we can pray, what we call God, and then the story goes on from there.
Yeah, I love the story, and I love the fact that you encourage a child to ask specific prayers and to keep a journal of those specific prayers. I think that's so powerful that mm-hmm. we recognize there that God is interacting with us on a real-time basis.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Now, also the artwork, very beautiful. Mm-hmm. How did you come mm-hmm. about the artist, and how was that developed? I'm always curious on how people put together a book.
Right. So I was in the market for an artist for some time. I had written the story many years before I got an illustrator. And I guess it's one of those Kairos moments, Donna. He is good, and his timing is Kairos. It's the fullness of time, and that's when things happen, right?
Mm. Ooh, Cairo. Yeah. That's a Kairos. Greek for the fullness of time?
Yes. So there's two different types of time, right, that we navigate as human beings. One is chronological time, and the other is Kairos, which is spiritual, and it is the manifestation of whatever is supposed to occur at the time, in the fullness of time.
Mm.
It gives our souls peace, because life can be, you know how it can be when
yeah.
we're waiting on things, praying for things, whatever, prevailing in prayer. But having peace that things happen when God gives the green light
is
reassuring. I was talking to a cousin of mine, and she introduced Brittany to me. And so I spoke with her and I told her what I was looking to do. And I also told her what each picture should look like in terms of the verbiage that I had written. And she made it come to life as per, you know, that partnership. So she's a beautiful talent, and I love the vibrancy of the images. We know that children are really captured by bright colors and action, and I think that she was very skillful in being able to draw the children in through her artistry.
I totally agree. Very engaging and very just so beautiful. Well, let's go back a little bit to the prayer points. You know, walk us through some of the important points of how to teach a child to pray. You started right in Genesis, which I love, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Beautiful starting point. You
yes,
know, and then you move the child into the truth that her voice, it's wanting, God wants to hear their voice. What are some of the other points you cover?
So some of the other points are community, expressing that we don't only pray to God when we are seeking connection and guidance or comfort, et cetera, but we also live in a constant state of inextricable community with all these other human beings in our family and in society, et cetera. And we, as children of God, have the ability to pray for someone who is in need, people that may be ill, people that may be grieving, whatever the issue might be, we have the ability to intercede for them. So I think that that's also one of the important points of prayer, letting children know that it's not always all just about them and their concerns, but it's about lifting up the concerns of the people around us that we are connected to and that we love. You know, that's another one of the, I think, more important points that is communicated to the child.
That is so beautiful. So they're doing intercessory. So they're able to do intercessory prayer. I mean, to give someone the gift of praying for them. That is just teaching them such a deep, deep concept, even as a little one, that that is, they are, you know, we are a kingdom and we are a priest. And we stand in the gap for other people. So to have a little person look at a big person who is towering over them and so powerful and has the car keys and the credit card and everything that controls their life. And to say, now I'm going to talk to the God who created that person.
I just think
it levels the Christian spiritual playing field. And that little child's voice is even more powerful than the person with the credit card and the car keys. If that person who has the power doesn't know Jesus, that's why I just love it. Jesus said, let them come to me. Because they have such a powerful voice.
They do. They do. They do. And they really, I think, have much more clearer channels to receive from the Lord, Donna, because they negotiate a lot less than we do as adults. And you bring up another point that I think should be emphasized about the book, and that is communicating to the child that prayer is not a monologue. It's not a one-way conversation with you just talking to God. But it is a give and take, and him speaking back to you and guiding you and giving you promptings and giving you a direction. And so in the story, Jamal, you know, he gets a prompting to help an elderly lady in his community who's taken a fall. And he, you know, uses his brand new bicycle to run errands for her and to take a beautiful meal to her that he and his mother prepare. So the child is learning, you know, to not only talk to God, but to listen and receive from him.
That's such a beautiful concept as well. We don't even cover that for adults in our churches these days, you know, hearing from the Lord. Getting those beautiful prompts and nudges and making that a normal part of prayer. I just love it. My pastor is really walking us through that beautiful sweet spot where he hears from the Lord as to what he's going to be speaking to us about. And I love it that he's just so open because, you know, people can start to question us when we say I heard from God, right? They that television and our society these days are trying to make that not normal, that that's something weird. You should be in, you know, institutionalized if you think you hear from God. But but I do. You ask him for wisdom. So it says if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives freely to all without finding fault. So how do we think that wisdom is going to be delivered? Yes, he can work through other people, absolutely, and he can give us counsel from others. He can, of course, the scriptures, we get wisdom from scriptures, but to hear that still, small voice saying, this is the way, walk in it, that's what I love. And you know, you know it's his voice, Clarissa. If it floods you with peace. Have you felt that? Don't you love it when it's just peace? You're like, yes, Lord,
absolutely,
this is you. It's not anxious. It's not fearful. It's just that sweet peace and say, okay, I can walk in this. I can walk in that peace that he's leading me in. You've experienced that in your life, I'm sure.
So interestingly, I would say one of the ways that the Lord talks to me is in terms of purpose. So I think that we all as believers are engaged. We have an ongoing dialogue with the Lord about life, right, in general, and about concerns, about people. And then there are ways that the Lord speaks to us to guide us in purpose, to deposit the things that we are supposed to leave in the earth realm that are messages of hope and salvation, etc. And so I can say that in my writing, both the book on worship and very profoundly the book on worship, I had a profound peace and a profound leading by the Holy Spirit in penning that book. And And also, you know, with this book, with Mommy Teach Me to Pray, it's interesting, I had a combination of what I would call delight, delight and peace. I was very delighted by the story that God gave me. I was delighted that He allowed me to be a conduit, and as I shared, it came in one flowing session. It was just beautiful to be a conduit and to feel the love of God for me and for people that would receive this message. And that was very peaceful as well, to know that I am sitting in purpose. It's that knowing that I'm moving in His will, you know, I'm moving in His will very specifically for my life. And I've had the peace of God when I have also, you were talking about intercessory prayer, prayed for others, and the Lord has kind of given me an unction about an outcome for someone. There's great peace in that.
I'm glad you brought up that word delight. You know, sometimes we think the Lord's will is not delightful. We think the Lord's will is always hard and, you know, it's a rocky road and, you know, Lord, I don't want to go down your will because I just think it's going to be painful. But delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart.
Amen.
It's so beautiful.
Amen.
It's sweet. The Lord is
Amen, Donna.
sweet,
Yes,
as
He
sweet as honey.
is.
And so
Yes,
He puts
yes.
these desires in your heart of His. And we can
Yes.
delight in His desires. And it is a
Yes.
delightful experience. I've experienced that over and over. I know when it's not His will, the delight is not there. I know if
Yes,
Donna gets
yes.
herself into her, you know, little shenanigan, that it's hard and it's rough and I don't have the energy for it.
Yes,
But if it's the
yes.
Lord's will, there is delight. So I'm just going to challenge our
Amen.
dear listener today to think about that. If, you know, you're seeking the Lord, there is this energy that's fueled by a delight. There is
Yes.
peace that the Lord gives
Yes.
us that passes understanding. We don't even understand it,
Yes.
but you're going to have
Yes.
that peace. And that's what
Amen.
Clarissa is speaking about today here on
Yes.
Mark and Friends. Well, Clarissa, our
Yes.
time is coming to an end, but this has been
Okay.
a delight, an
Ditto.
absolute delight.
Ditto.
And we are going to have you
Yes.
back because you just
Okay.
sparked my interest on your
Okay.
first book, which we are going to definitely chat on because the title alone, I think, is going to deserve at least one, if not two, programs. Tell us about it.
Yes. Wonderful. Wonderful. So what I would say about that book is that it is a challenge to the believer, because I think unfortunately we have gotten into having church and not experiencing Christ. We've also gotten into worshiping men and ministries and not worshiping the Father. And so it is an urgent call and challenge for us to make Christ center, make Him central again, and all the ways that we can do that, and then some definitional or biblical concepts that introduce kind of how we got to where we are right now and how we can make it back to center, to the center of worship.
Now, that book is called From Idolatry to the Heart of Worship, and we will definitely
Yes.
dig into that the next time we have you on. We've been talking
Okay.
with Dr. Clarissa Williams, and she's born and bred right here in Springfield, and she has written a book, Mommy, Teach Me to Pray. Thank you so much, Clarissa, for spending time with us on Mark and Friends.
Thank you so much for having me, Donna. It's been wonderful.
Halls ring with echoes of laughter long after they've come and gone. For the memory of a tiny face and playful grin still brings a smile, reminding us again that children are a treasure from the Lord. the gift of faith they hold. Grow as they grow old, may they always know God will never let them go. At six, they're beginning their school days. 16, and they're driving the car. But of course they'll be at home in bed by 8. Yes, children are a treasure from the Lord. Those bright and trusty lives seem to take us by surprise, and they see what others older seem to miss. May the gift of faith they hold
for listening to Mark and Friends. We're a ministry of Great News Media. Have a great day.